So, chapter 6 deals with a familiar town, Jericho, and so most everything we're going to cover here should be well known to all of us, and maybe a little bit different take on some part here. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall follow before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and all the cities shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." All right? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the prayer requests here tonight. They're very important to the people that made them. They're very important to us to intercede in their behalf. There are others that were not made, and Father, we just ask that you answer them as well according to your will. And we thank you for your word. I'm glad that we have it. We don't guess that we have it. This Bible does not contain your word. It is the word, and I'm glad for that. And so it's authoritative, and I pray it's authoritative to us. And we go way back in history here, and yet the relevance is like yesterday or today. And so we pray that we would treat this in a manner that will keep us really apprised of everything that is going on. There's still nothing new. The method of destruction was, obviously, but it's coming again. So we just ask that you be with us, be with me as I give this forth, be with those who are watching. We just want your will to be accomplished here, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Israelites now are officially in the land. They crossed over into Gilgal, and now they've moved, and they're just outside of Jericho. Fear of the Lord had fallen upon the Canaanites earlier in the book. You can read that. When they heard what the Lord had done in crossing the Red Sea or crossing of the Jordan River, and Joshua had believed God, and the Lord God had overcome any and all the obstacles. So it was in times past that holy men really were a terror to the ungodly. I can remember hearing that the Queen of England feared the prayers of one of the, was it John Knox? I think it was John Knox. She just feared him. She was an ungodly woman. He was a godly man. And there was just that fear. Now, I'm not saying there are none of those people today. I'm saying they're not many. They're just not many. And when you see the attitude toward the truth, you know that many times the truth is being apologized for. And this being silent. You're not afraid to speak up. So what I'm saying is, if you're determined to live holy for God and for His will, you'll have power. And you'll have power with Him and for Him. And that the wisdom and strength of the world cannot resist. So look at verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. Right? There was an ungodly city, scared to death. None went out. None came in. So, you know, whatever defenses they had in mind, they melted in the presence of God and the people of God. And so I think that Joshua's success was due probably in his predetermination in chapter 1 and his utmost trust in God. It's easy to say that. And yet things come along and you're challenged on those things. But if you remember that, you know, you can trust the Lord, you can be victorious in these things. And I think his was the same. He had an utmost trust in God, who went before him and showed the enemy their weakness, and of course God's presence. So there's a couple of things, or three things, that I want to bring out about this. And here's the first one. We're talking about the doomed city. And I want to incorporate the physical issues with Jericho with spiritual. So the city was doomed. And liken that to the sinner's state. Doomed under the curse of God. All right, go down to verse 17. I'm going to jump all around here. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So the city shall be accursed. Now go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And let's look here in verse 3. And this is the Lord talking to Moses before he died. He could look into the promised land, but he couldn't go. And the south, in the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees under Zoar. All right, the city of palm trees, this was a city of groves of palm trees. And this was a pagan, this was a pagan place. And it was just filled with palm tree groves. I mean, all the time you hear, you know, oh, there's a verse where this is a garden. Most of the times it's not a garden. It's a place of idolatry. And that was there. Now, if you go back to Exodus 23, we have the curse on them 40 years prior to this. Exodus 23, at least 23. And look down here in verse 27. 23:27. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. And so before they ever went into Jericho, they had a promise. And if you were here with Sunday night, the faithfulness of God backs up the promise. It was going to happen. And it just so happened we started with Jericho. So Jericho was surrounded by a wall, and they had one gate. And of course the gate was shut at night. They were ruled, as you saw there, by a king. And in verse 26, if you go there, Jericho, let's see, first Joshua 6, verse 26, we have a prophecy. Let me get there. Joshua 6, 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. All right, so if you go to 1 Kings chapter 16, we'll get all these turning here out of the way, I hope. 1 Kings chapter 16. And let's go down here to verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So the very thing that was prophesied in Joshua 6:26 occurred in 1 Kings 16:34. So we're outside. The Israelites haven't started marching around yet. And so before they ever saw them, they're glorying in their strength and ignorant of their condition before God. Just like today, many people are so insensible to their eternal state. They have no idea. There's no fear of God. There's no interest in salvation, just like today. And in all likelihood, they say, you know, look what I've accomplished. Look who I am. Look what I've done. And not realizing, you know, the sentence of the execution of the sentence of death of the lost people is hanging by a thread over hell, John 3:36. It's just ready to be executed when you die lost. I mean, this is very perilous. So their doom was surely fixed while they were rejoicing as when they were trembling and scared to death. So the Bible has concluded, rightly so, that all are under the curse, all are sinners, all are doomed to hell, all need someone to do something that they can never do, and that, of course, is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do and did. So Romans chapter 5, I must look at this one, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So I've used that verse there, has been very instrumental with me in just knocking evolution out the window. I mean, before Adam and Eve sinned, nothing died. There's no death. If they said, there were dinosaurs back then, and you know, and all this other stuff. But then we know they all died. And how could they die before sin came into the world? It just didn't make any sense. So, verse 1, they were straitly shut up. If it had been straitly shut up by God, as Noah was shut up in the ark, then they might have laughed at the Israelites, laughed them to scorn. When God shut us, no man can open. And God didn't shut up Jericho. They shut themselves up. This was man's idea. You know, bar the gates. Whatever you want to do. They shut themselves up against God. I did that. I didn't want to hear anything pertaining to salvation. Nothing. And I'm not the only one. But the scripture says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But isn't this characteristic of the vain effort of the proud, defiant sinner, setting themselves within the walls of their own unrighteousness? Look how many people build these places so that nobody can enter in with the truth of the gospel. No solicitation here. Your condos, your different places, they all have the same thing. So, you know, Jonathan and I were out one of these developments back in here, and no solicitation. He says, well, I guess that means we can't say anything. I said, we're not soliciting. And so the lady came to the door and said, can you not read? I said, yes. Do you know the meaning of solicitation? And she slammed the door. So I'm not trying to sell her anything. I'm trying to make her understand, you know, a better spiritual state. But this is indicative of lost people, right? Go down to verse 20, 6:20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The walls were quickly brought down. The only refuge they had were those hand-built walls. That's it. What's the value of a refuge that will not stand the days of trial? It's like a rotten, decayed ship in the middle of the ocean. The storm comes and it just breaks it all apart. It's like anything built on the sand. And Florida's built on the sand, especially once you get out of Jacksonville. And one day, I just see it. Something's going to come along, and all these, if it comes from the east, then it's going to blow it all into the Gulf. I mean, because what do we have to stand on? Sand. What happened to the condo in South Florida? How are they built any different than all the other condos? They're all built with pilings, which are made with concrete and rebar. Rebar rusts in salt water. It's just a matter of time. The codes are different, but they're still built with pilings. And I wouldn't want to be 60 stories up unless I had a slide. But you don't get the notice. When it goes, it just goes. These great walls, the works of their hands, that's what their confidence was in. Like Cain, his confidence was in the work of his hands, the fruit of his labor. Look what I've done. And the Lord was not pleased with that kind of sacrifice because there was no blood. There is no shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. There is no safety outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. There is none. I used to be, when we had our church in Montana, we had guys that would come to church that were not saved, and they visited and so forth. And so the guys in the church wanted to go hunting. And so the guy that was going to be driving was an unsaved guy. And I was terrified with him because the Lord doesn't have any protection on him whatsoever. And so I placed myself, I say to the girls, don't place yourself in a crime scene. I put myself in one, possibly, but even with a lost guy who really didn't want anything to do with salvation. We had black ice out there. You'd never know when you were going to be on the road or off the road, you know, in a ditch or down the hill. None of that. And when we got back safely, I just thanked the Lord and said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just not. Man's protection is not God's protection. And for me to say, oh, it's going to be okay, it really wasn't. So the first point all had to do with the curse of God on the city and the curse of God on us before we were saved. All right, number two, the strange assault or the victory of faith. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll go down here to verse 30. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The victory of faith. The means appointed by God are often foolishness with man. The preaching of God, the preaching of the cross is foolishness with man. But the believing heart delights to obey. And so here's how it went down. You can hold your place in Hebrews. We'll come back to it. In verse 3, Joshua 6:3. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. So the compassing of the city, Paul said, the walls, by faith the walls are going to fall. They must have had great faith. And their feet were to compass the city. Their feet, in other words, faith put feet to the obedience. A lot of times we'll pray about something, we do nothing. And say, okay, prayer's sufficient. Sometimes we have to pray and then we have to put action to our prayers. That's what they were doing. I mean, in our day, this is an unusual thing. Right? So our faith should also compass or surround the object of the desire if we want to possess it. And I'm not talking about things carnal here. It's the surrounding of that the faith is tried for nothing, because in the flesh, all we see is difficulty. The walls, remember, the people were as tall as giants. And the animals, it was unbelievable. The spies came back. Everything was impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. And so you have to understand, if God isn't in here and faith is incorporated, then everything, all you have left is human inability. That's it. In the flesh, I can do nothing spiritual. Nothing. So before I was saved, I could talk about my teaching a Sunday school class in an apostate church. I could remark on how I kept a Bible in the car and things like that. But there was nothing. I mean, nothing. It was just religion, I guess. That was it. Okay, and verse 4 has to do with the blowing of the trumpets. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So here we have the means of faith, the blowing of the trumpets. The means faith uses are way different than the conventional inventions and imaginations of carnal men. Do you remember growing up, if you were older, and you'd watch Westerns, and the settlers were moving out west, and they were surrounded by the Indians, and then somewhere up on top of the hill came this massive amount of the cavalry. And we got the impression that's how you take care of things. Man's imagination. What's your impression of Samson, since you're teaching Samson? Well, the impression of Samson that I got when I was young, and in some of the books that I looked at pictured, was a guy with biceps like that. Massive. It was almost like he was a bodybuilder. Extraordinary. No, he wasn't. He was a common person, a Jew. He could have been thin. He could have been short. But he was empowered by God. But in the flesh, when he allowed the flesh to take over, he was weak. He was none of those things. So faith, the means that faith uses, usually are simple, seemingly weak things of God. But they are the weapons not of doubt, not of experiment, but of faith. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is a promise. How many of us believe it? Only if we can figure, I can inject myself and do this. Of myself, you may not believe this, but I know it to be true. I would never, ever attempt to stand up and talk to anybody under any circumstances. The fear was that great. I would stay home when I would have to do reports in growing up. I went to night school after high school, and it was a college, and so we had to take a public speaking class. I dropped the class when it was my turn. I could not do it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I had nothing to say. There was nothing there of me. All right? So in the flesh, I'm ready to run. But I don't do this in the flesh. So I can do all things. I mean, that I even, those of you that are here many years ago, I even did with Leanna a song here. It took 9 months for us to do that. It was a messianic song. It was very difficult. And still, I don't think we did that well. Dr. Rivera said, "You guys are terrible." He was really an encouragement. And then when we did it, it was Al and Monica, Leon and me. And when we did it, I guess we pulled it off. And then Brother Vic, I think this was the last time he preached. And I really miss him from being able to preach. He knows he has an open door. I said, "You get something ready, you come and bring it." So, what use was David sling and 5 stones to Saul? He wanted him to go after him with this big heavy sword that he already could lift up. No, David went in faith with 5 smooth stones and a sling. And they're not like you see today with the you pull it back. And this one is you swing it. And then suddenly you let it go. And boy, he hit the target first time. You think the stone might have been guided by the Lord? I do. So the trumpet of the gospel must be blown in faith if the victory is to be won. I'm not a person of formulas. Formulas are good, but only if you use them in the power of God. Some people can use formulas like evangelism explosion. D. James Kennedy, when he was alive, he had a list of 23 things, and all of them were to be answered yes. And at the last one, it said something about wanting to be saved. And your answer, of course, after you've said yes for 22 times, would be, "Oh, yeah." But it was mechanical. The lips of the priests, they were supposed to be holy, were they not? So they were holy lips of the priests alone were to blow the trumpets. Well, we read in 2 Peter, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what's the result of that? The Word of God. The Word of God. Holiness on our part, I think, is still how we work God's work. Can we be perfectly holy? No. Can we be holier than we were yesterday? Absolutely. Are we as holy as we should be? No. Can we be holier tomorrow? Yes. It's what you do with the Word and how you submit to the Spirit working within you. From what you get out of the word. Okay, verse 6, we have the carrying of the ark. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So the carrying of the ark was really the object of their faith. The ark was the symbol of God's presence, and all was arranged according to the ark. They had great confidence when the ark was there, and so I can feel them saying to themselves, "The ark of God that divided the Jordan River and let us cross over on dry land is coming. God's presence, the picture of God's presence." I don't think their faith was in marching or blowing the trumpets, but yet if they didn't go and march, the ark wouldn't follow, because it was all part of it. You couldn't take part of the equation out of this. In verse 20, we read, "So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." The shouting of the people was the expectation of faith. What do skeptics do with verse 20? Well, we believe that since the city was probably made of limestone, it would be easy to collapse. And there must have been a small local earthquake at that very moment. And only the city of Jericho collapsed. Amazing. An earthquake with parameters. I mean, you get an earthquake, and it keeps dividing. All right. So this is not, verse 20 tells you this is not the work of the priests alone, but also all the people in verse 5. So come to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people that were there with them shall shout with a great shout. All the people. Through what was done, faith has been increased in the hearts of all the people. And now all of them are trusting, and all of them are expecting, and all of them shout the downfall and embrace the victory. So why are there so few victories for today for the Lord? Great victories. How come? Because there's so few expecting, and because there's so few shouting. Now, I'm not talking about shouting like this. I'm talking about joining in and being part of the work. You can't be part of the work if not, you don't do anything. Micah touched on that Sunday. It's great that people are here. I'm grateful. You don't misunderstand that some people come, they sit, they get up, they go home, that's it. They don't take part in any of this. There's a lot of blowing and much preaching. I'm not talking about hot air, but little shouting among God's people, because there's no involvement in action. It took all of them to accomplish this. Could God have done it without any of that? Yes, but there's something here that we should be able to take and use today. God needs us. Well, he doesn't need us. We need him. But he wants us to do it his way. And so it's not the mega church. It's not... You know, the ability of so many people coming together and saying, okay, if we all get together, then we'll be able to reverse this trend. No, it's not. It's all of us being involved in doing God's work, God's way. When you might get tired of hearing this, but when the fellow that was working the Jesus of Nazareth video, right, that was a missionary, quote unquote, missionary outreach to this whole town, came and spoke to me and said, "Do you want to be part of this? We'll supply all the videos that you want, and then you just go out and distribute them wherever you want." And so I asked the embarrassing question, "Who else is doing this?" "Oh, I'm glad you asked." And he took out a sheet of paper, 8 1/2, 11, and there were Baptist churches, there were Lutheran churches, there were Church of God churches, there were Presbyterian churches, there were Episcopal churches. I said, "Who are these people?" "Well, these are people that are going to pass it out." I said, and I pointed to one or two. I said, "You do know that they don't believe the Bible's the Word of God." And then he got quiet. I said, "You do know this one doesn't believe salvation by grace through faith." And so he thought, I guess I'll take that as a no. I said, "You'll take it as I can't do that and be obedient to God." Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You don't mix saved and lost for a common cause. So then he went around, and I was out front 2 weeks later, maybe, and he pulled up, and I could tell with the smile on his face, this is not good. And he said, I just wanted to let you know. And he showed me the church. He said, they joined. They're a Baptist church, you know. They're a fundamental Baptist church. I said, it's really sad. He said, hey, listen, the message is just as important as the message. I said, well, what is the message? The message is disobedient. He drove off. So whether I'm nitpicky or what, I have to be careful in those situations. I've got to protect more than me. I've got to protect all of us, lest we get caught up in that. I guess we could have a bigger crowd if we had drums, electric guitars, bass guitar, worship leaders, not the Holy Spirit, worship leaders, human worship leaders, ditch the piano, ditch the pulpit, ditch the pews, little tables, casual, coffee shop. Well, what is, am I being obedient to God that way? No, not really. So the faith has great expectations when it's done God's way. Okay, number three. A family spared, or have great salvation. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. I told you to hold your place. I didn't think it was going to be that long, but it was. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. In verse 30, we know that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab. You imagine, this is the heroes of the faith. And Rahab is in there. A lot of people are perplexed by that. A lot of people just go crazy. She was a harlot. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Okay, I want you to notice some things. And go back to Joshua chapter 2. The first thing that I want you to believe is that she believed. Joshua chapter 2, let's look at verse 9 and then verse 11. 2, 9 and then 11. And she said unto them, to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She hid the messengers. She believed that they were of God. I believe that when you look at 9 and again in 11, her beliefs and her prejudices were cast aside. That she understood there was something way more than what she had. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it the kind of salvation we know that's so clear? No, but I think that because her faith justified her before men. And isn't that important? Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Another perplexing passage. People like to say that James and Paul were at odds against each other. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. James chapter 2, look verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. All right? Is that talking about what is later? Put it in context to chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. You say that you have faith and I have works. Can faith save? Absolutely. Is faith genuine? That's what James is saying. If you're saying faith is genuine, it produces works. Not to be saved, but because you are. And so her faith justified her before men when she hid them and believed them. And it's important. I mean, and she hid the messengers and she exposed the scarlet cord. And it's the blood of Christ, by the way, that stands between salvation and condemnation. We sing the song, when I see the blood, the scarlet cord, I will pass over you. All right, back here, 23, Joshua 6, 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. She testified to others. It says she told her mother, her father, her brothers, her sisters, and then all that she had. How many were that? I have no idea. We're not told how she persuaded them, but she did. And she was instrumental in the saving of her family. Remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And what's the end of the verse? And thy house. Behold, now is the accepted time. Not when the walls are falling flat, which I believe our country is going to be very soon. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that if we keep going the direction we're going. I think there's a judgment that is increasing and spreading and spreading and spreading. It's more than a cloud of insanity over the country. It's more than that. The Lord is at work here. We're seeing it in athletics. We're seeing it in professional sports. Everything. In education. Everything is collapsing. Come thou, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. All right, let's close with this. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, look here in verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The fall of Jericho, the fall of mankind. Man, lost men today are really a picture of Jericho. And we who have the truth, we need to understand we can reach them. We ought to reach them, but we can't do it by ourselves. We need all of us. We need all of us praying. We need all of us going. We need all of us depending that the Lord can do this, understanding that we're going with the Lord, and we can triumph over these things. So there's this great story in Jericho, much greater than the children's song that we sing, and it's a good thing. But there's many things to apply here to us today and to lost men today and to us, we who are saved. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instructions that you can give us in type, knowing that we're not Israel. We are your bride. You are the bridegroom. You are the head of the church. But yet there's things we have, I think, long ago abandoned. And thinking that it takes all of us praying. It takes all of us to be here. It takes all of us to go out. And sometimes there's people that can't do that. But they can be praying. The world is caving in. And as it caves in, the only thing many people are seeing is me. Just me. As if nothing else means anything. Or is more important than me. So Father, I pray we'll just take a look at ourselves, see where we are, and realize together, in Christ, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can defeat all these things, whatever they may be, whomever they may be. So we pray that we will take the things we've seen and apply them to our lives and then richly give them out to other people. And so we pray you dismiss us with your blessing. Keep us safe as we go to our places, both physically and spiritually. Pray for a good rest of the night, rest of the week, and let us understand how important each one of us are to the other, and of course to you. Those that are unable to be here because of their sickness, or their age, or their distance, keep them in prayer at all times. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.